have to revisit this sometime in the future. But for today, we'll try to get a little bit taste of the Emor. And maybe, if time's permitting, which already it doesn't, this is the point, but we'll try to also chazer a little bit. There was a request to chazer Moshe speak, and we'll say at least a little bit about that, then we'll insert it into Revi of Emor, which maybe we can do also, and it'll make it all into one unit. Okay, so the fourth Aliyah of Parshas Emor has a lot of the fascinating things about it, particularly what's relevant to Shabbos and Yontif. But the part that is in Revi is also the Yontif that we're holding in right now, Sras HaOmer and Shavuos and things like that. So it's particularly relevant. So the Aliyah begins with the words, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Vyamarta Aleihem, Moedei Hashem, Asher Tikru Osam, Mikroi Kodesh, Eilehei Moadoi. Here are my Moadim. Here are my appointed times. I think we mentioned in the past the word moed, which we use to refer to yontif, to a scheduled time, as Rav Hirsch and others explain. Other contexts, the word moed refers to a meeting time, and the idea that we are meeting at Kadosh Baruch Hu on certain days, that's conveyed through the usage of this language. So first, the first few psukim of the Aliyah, as the Taurus Kohen explains, as Rashi explains, is that Rashi later, that first, Rashi here also, that first we're going to talk about Ibur Hashanah. That's what the first three psukim are referring to. And after that, there's a reference to Kiddush HaChodesh. So the various ways in which humanity can affect when Yontif comes out, a major theme, the fact that the Jews have influence and when Yontif is going to happen. So there's two ways. One is we can figure out how long the year is going to be. We can add an extra Adar in the year. That's the topic of this first few psukim. And then from Dalet on, it's going to be talking about Kiddush HaChodesh. That's the other thing we can do to influence the calendar. We can decide to make a month longer or shorter, and that's going to have an impact on things. So starting off here with this, so we have the phrase the Mikroi Kodesh, and we see from the context that it's a reference to Shabbos and Yontif. And the Ramban comments that after that it's going to say Asher Tikro Saba Mo Adam, so that's a reference only to Yontif, because Shabbos is already Kavua, that we don't have any influence on when Shabbos is. We know that's what the Gemara tells us, that we say Mekadesh HaShabbos and Shabbos, God is the one who sanctifies Shabbos, while in the context of Yontif we say Mekadesh Yisroel V'Hazmanim, because we are a part of that process. So there is a distinction in the Psukim, but to some extent Shabbos is gathered with Yontif, to some extent it's distinct. We'll come back to that topic in a moment. But the Ramban has a very important comment here, that this idea of Mikra Kodesh, so what does that mean? This idea of calling for purposes of Kedusha. So says the Ramban, very important Ramban, that this is the day, these are the days when Jews join together in the Beis Elokim, in the shuls, to sanctify the day in public with tefillah and praise. So that's a very important idea. It sounds like what the Ramban is saying here is that even though we normally assume that tefillah is midrabanan, that daily tefillah is, according to almost all the Rishonim, the obligation midrabanan, the notable exception of the Rambam, who maintains that there's a daily obligation of tefillah min haTorah, but the other Rishonim will assume it's midrabanan. But here the Ramban is apparently saying that not only is there probably a difference in Shabbos and Yontif, where tefillah is min haTorah, but maybe even tefillah min haTzibur is min haTorah, that we should gather together specifically in communal units in order to declare the day Kodesh. That seems to be itself a mitzvah min haTorah. There are other ways of saying that tefillah on Shabbos, at least, is min haTorah. That if one assumes that the obligation of Kiddush, one of the Aseres HaDibros of Zachar Shema Shabbos L'Kadsho, so there are many different views as to what is the focus of that pasuk on level min haTorah. The idea that we have to make Kiddush on Shabbos min haTorah, so that's widely agreed upon, that that's the intent of Zachar Shema Shabbos L'Kadsho. But what does that mean specifically? What is the act of Kiddush? So that's not so clear. It probably doesn't involve wine necessarily. of Asam Rishonim, but maybe it did. You know, the Gemara has Adrashim Sachim Zachreyu Ahayayin, but many Rishonim assume that that's an Asmachta, that's not the real Drasha. Whether it requires Kiddush Makom Suda, etc., etc. There are many different views. And one contemporary sefer called the Yimam Bahalacha, by Shlomo Zalman Shmaya, said he lists 15 different views in the postgame as to how to understand what is Minat Torah and what isn't from the obligation of Zachar from Shabbos to Kadesh. So some understand that the core fulfillment of Zechiras HaShabbos is in Tefillah. So if that's the case, that's another angle with which to say that Shabbos davening is Minat Torah, either from this pasuk of Mikra Kodesh, or from the idea of Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekadshim. Now that also connects to this pasuk itself, because the Michilta has a drasha here that this idea of Mikroi Kodesh Eila, Asher Tikro Mosa Mikra Kodesh Eila Moadai, so the Michilta quotes that on the one hand, when it comes to Shabbos, so we have the pasuk of Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekadshim. So how do we know it's also true by Yantif? From this pasuk, Asher Tikro Mosa Mikroi Kodesh. So it sounds like whatever the obligation is on Shabbos is, by dint of this pasuk, a extension into Yantif as well. So both possible ideas that tell us maybe that davening and Shabbos is Minat Torah, assuming that's how you interpret them, could both connect to this pasuk either directly or indirectly. So it certainly sounds from that medrash that the obligation of Kiddush that we have on Shabbos Minat Torah, whatever it means, but there's some obligation of Kiddush Minat Torah. So it seems like from this drasha that it's true on Yantif as well, that Kiddush and Yantif is also min HaTorah. The problem is there are a number of Nosakeim, the Rambam, and others who assume that Kiddush is only deraisa on Shabbos, and that on Yantif it's midrabanan. This was the view of the Magen Mishnah and Hilchos Shabbos and Parakotes, Halacha Yudches. The Lecha Mishnah also adapted this idea in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim and Parakei Beis, Halacha Gimel. And the Magen Avraham in the beginning of Reish Ayin Aleph also brought this. So they all assume that Kiddush and Yantif is midrabanan. And the Torah Tamima, he writes that he doesn't understand where any of them are coming from. It's all coming from the Magen Mishnah. He doesn't understand where the Magen Mishnah is coming from. That we don't have any real clear source, he writes, that Kiddush and Yantif should only be midrabanan. And Adrabba, we have this source in Chazal, which seems to say it's deraisa. So therefore, it seems like he thinks, so this is wrong, and that Kiddush and Yantif is min HaTorah. When he says we don't have a clear source, presumably what the source is that the source for Kiddush on Shabbos is the pasuk of Zachar Shema Shabbos, so maybe it's an absence of source by Yantif. We don't have an exclusion specific on Yantif. His question is, so what about this source in Chazal that uses this pasuk to connect it to? So it seems like that should be a basis to say that Kiddush is min HaTorah and Yantif as well, and that's the way he assumes. So here we find the Yantif Shabbos connection in the next pasuk also. Sheishes yamim teaseh melacha uv'yom hashvi Shabbos Shabboson mikra kodesh kol melacha lo sasu Shabbos yila Hashem b'chol moshvoseichem. So here we have now Shabbos inserted within the context of the Mo'adim. So what's it there for? So the Torah's Kohenim writes that one who is machal Yantif, it's like being machal Shabbos. So what do we need that for? And it's not totally true. I mean, the onus is different. So what's the intent of that drasha? So the Torah Tamima writes that maybe you would think that because, as we've established here, humans have an influence in when Yantif is, so maybe it feels kind of man-made. Maybe it feels like it's not going to be so terrible if you're Mechalit. So therefore, we need a drasha to tell us that, functionally speaking, we have an equation between Shabbos and Yantif as far as how we should treat it, and we can't take any less seriously because man is involved. Moshe Feinstein, the Sefer Darash Moshe, has a whole discussion about how Shabbos and Yantif, they represent different stages of Emuna. That Shabbos represents God's creation of the world, and Yantif represents God's continued involvement, particularly, let's say, Pesach represents God's continued involvement with humanity, and they're both equally important principles of Emuna. So you shouldn't think, okay, one I have to take seriously, the other I don't take seriously. Here Chazal is telling us that they both have to be taken seriously. The Orach Chaim, he says kind of the opposite. The Orach Chaim says, you might think that since Yantif, you have some control over when it's going to be, so maybe Shabbos also we have some control over when it's going to be. Maybe we can move Shabbos away from Saturday. If we feel that in America we'd rather have it be on Sunday, maybe we can move it. So, or maybe any other purpose. So the message is, no, you can't do that, and that's why in the context of saying Eilehem O'adai, you also say that Sheish Yisrael Teasim Alacha Gemar Shvi Shabbos. That's it. Shvi Teasim Shabbos. We don't have any control over that. Okay, the Mishkan Betzalel, Betzalel Rudinsky, his sefer, so he suggests that the equation of Shabbos with Yom Tovim here is to say that even though we've been distinguishing in terms of human involvement, but it's not absolute. That still, we shouldn't think that just because Shabbos is set, so we have nothing to do with it. That we still have a tremendous impact on whether Shabbos will be fully holy for us. That the way we act, the way we devote ourselves and our focus on Shabbos is going to affect its character. So it's still a concept of Asiyas Shabbos. It's just that the date we can't maneuver, that's going to be far more established than Yontif. But there is a connection in the same way we make Yontif, and we get to do that in a broader sense by establishing what it is. So Shabbos, we can't do that, but we do create Shabbos by how we treat it and how we act on Shabbos. So the idea the Pasuk has here also, Shabbos Hi LaShem. So what does it mean, Shabbos Hi LaShem? So you have the Machlokas and the Gemara and the Bavli and the Yerushalmi about this. Just like you have by Yontif. Should Yontif be a day that is completely devoted to Hashem, meaning we should be davening and learning all day? Or is it lachem? Is it mean we should be eating all day? Or is it half and half? The Gemara there says, just in Yom Yomah, that when it comes to Shavuos, so Shavuos, we for sure need lachem. The Gemara has a striking statement that Shavuos for sure needs your own personal enjoyment because it's the Yom Shenitna B'Torah. Since it's the day the Torah was given, so therefore, for sure, it needs that personal enjoyment, which is a very striking idea. What does one have to do with the other? And the Rashi of Karabi Abnas, one of the Bracha, used to frequently comment, this is one of his favorite themes, that the whole point of the Torah is to elevate the material, is to lift up the Gashmias. So therefore, if that's what the Torah is about, so then for sure, the day that commemorates the giving of the Torah is going to have physical enjoyment, eating and drinking and the like, dedicated in a spirit of Kedusha. So Shabbos also, we find in Machlokas, is Shabbos all supposed to be eating and drinking, or is it supposed to be learning? And you also find the suggestion that it depends who you are, that if you're a person who all week long is working, so then like the Pasuk says that 6 days you should do your work, and then make Shabbos different, so you should be very spiritually focused on Shabbos, it should be all about learning and davening. But a Talmud Chacham, who is learning all week, so he can distinguish Shabbos differently, so then he should focus more on eating and drinking to make Shabbos distinct from the days. We could suggest that here in Shiva, so we're really both perspectives, so you're working on all kinds of things, you're working now, it's finals week, reading week, you know, you're working all week, you don't really have time to focus on learning, so maybe Shabbos should be a time for learning from that perspective. And we're also, Tamei Chacham, we're also learning all week, but not exclusively. So Shabbos can be a time to, either from either perspective, however you define yourself, to focus a little bit more on spirituality, whether that means staying in Shiva Shabbos from time to time, or doing whatever it takes to create an environment on Shabbos where you'll be able to focus on that a little bit more. The Pasuk Vasher Tikro Samu Adam, and the next Pasuk, the Pasuk Dalit. So here, like we said, this is a reference now to Kiddush HaChodesh, and now we're switching from Yibur HaShana to Kiddush HaChodesh. So there's a major machlokas, just so you're aware, it's a major machlokas as to how Kiddush HaChodesh is done. And at the Rambam, in Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Kuf Mitzvah Kuf Min Gimel, as well as the Hachosh Kiddush HaChodesh, in Parakei Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam assumes that Kiddush HaChodesh requires the Bezdin HaGadol. And if not the Bezdin HaGadol, then at least Smuchim, who functioned with the Rishus of the Beis Din HaGadol. And the Ramban disagrees. It's a major topic that Zalbeitzer gave Shiurma, and the Shefa talks about in the storm. And there is this machlokas as far as what Kiddush HaChodesh is, or as far as what is the function of Beis Din HaGadol. So the Ramban maintains you need the Beis Din HaGadol for this, or at least the representatives. And the Ramban says, no, it just needs a Beis Din of three. And that's a mission at the beginning of Sanhedrin, against another synergy or a segue between this year and next year. So to continue here with the Pesukim, go a little bit further. So we have L'chodesh HaRishon B'Avos, or L'chodesh Ben HaBayim Pesach L'Hashem. So first we have on the 14th of Nisan, the Chag HaPesach, the day of the Hakravas HaPesach. So this is the distinction that we're not always sensitive to. In contemporary times, we call it all Pesach. But here we see, as the pasuk pretty clearly states, that the 14th of Nisan is really Chag HaPesach, and the 15th is Chag HaMatzos. And the idea that we should eat matzah 7 days, so this is the basis of the famous view of the Vilna Gaon and others, that even though there is an obligation to eat matzah only on the first night of Pesach, but there is at least a mitzvah kiyumis of eating matzah on all the days of Pesach. We shouldn't just say that it's the only option, so if you're going to eat matzah, but Gros saw it as more than that, others agreed with him, that there is a mitzvah kiyumis in eating matzah all the 7 days of Pesach. And then the next pasuk, a very important pasuk here as far as defining yantif, says the pasuk, B'yom harishon mikra kodesh yelochem kol meleches avoda lo sasu. So what's the idea of meleches avoda? So here the Ramban has a comment. The Ramban explains that this is the source for the idea of ochel nefesh. That when it comes to yantif, there's a major difference in terms of how we decide, what's prohibited and what's not prohibited in terms of yantif. That on Shabbos, so we're not allowed to do any malacha, and we define malacha probably in terms of creative labor, creative impact on the world. And when it comes to yantif, so it's not as absolute. That the idea is, it's malachas avoda that is prohibited, but malacha that you do for your own personal enjoyment, i.e. ochel nefesh, so that's permitted. So this is actually a topic of machlokas among the Rishonim, among the later Svarim, really how to understand the nature of the heter ochel nefesh. That you see the Ramban here is saying that the reason ochel nefesh is permitted on Shabbos is because, on Yotef, not on Shabbos, is because it's not included in the type of malacha that is prohibited. And when it comes to Shabbos, it's prohibited across the board. While others understand differently, others understand that the idea of ochel nefesh is an outgrowth of the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif. The Shagas Aryeh has a whole discussion about this. That on Yantif, so we have a mitzvah of Simchas Yantif, which is going to require us to do more, especially in a pre-refrigeration age, to make sure that we have what to eat. So therefore, that's what we have to do. We have to prepare food, and the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif is what allows it. So that's going to have an impact on how things are defined. Essentially, is it excluded from the Isra in the first place, or is it justified because it's necessary for Simchas Yantif? This Ramban is echoing his position that he had in Parshas Vayakel, and when the Torah says, Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshe Seichem B'yom HaShabbos, so there the Ramban says that the Torah is emphasizing that Havara is prohibited on Shabbos because on Yantif we have a Heter Ochel Nefesh. So therefore we have to understand that Shabbos doesn't have that, and Havara is one of the Malachos that is often invoked for Ochel Nefesh. So the Torah is emphasizing specifically that that's a Yantif concept and not a Shabbos concept. Rashi over here, you see Rashi says in the phrase Melechas Avod that appears again in the next pasuk, V'kravtem Yishev Hashem Shivas Yomim B'yom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh Melechas Avodah Lo Sasu. So here it says, Rashi, Melechas Avodah Afilu Melechos HaChashubus Lachem Avodah Batzorech Sheyesh Chesrin Kis V'batala Shulahen K'gon Dover HaAveh. That here Rashi is saying that the chiddush of Melechas Avodah is that even if it's something that's important, you got to do it or else you're going to lose out, still you have to restrain, you have to refrain on Yantif, and you're still not allowed to do it. So the Ramban asks on this Rashi, well, why do we need a pasuk to tell us this? We have no reason to think that it's going to be different from Shabbos. But on Shabbos, we apply the Yisra Malacha even to Davar HaAvod, so why do we think that Yantif is any different? So some suggest that here the point is that once you have a heter ochel nefesh, so you're not sure how far you go with it. So therefore we need, this is a point that Rebecca Kamenetsky makes, others make, so therefore we have to emphasize that there is a basis to think that maybe you could allow Dover of it also, so therefore the Torah says not true. So together, if you think about it, it makes an important point. Because one could have thought that what's the Havmina? to say that Ochel Nefesh is mutter and Davar HaAvod is mutter. So you might think that the idea is that, okay, Yontif is simply not as chomer as Shabbos, and everything is a notch below. So if you need it to enjoy yourself, it's okay. And if it's a big burden on you, then it's also okay. And the impact of having these two drushes together there is to tell us that no, that Ochel Nefesh is not just about, well, it's less severe than Shabbos, so a lot more things. No, it's that Ochel Nefesh is allowed because it's necessary as part of Yontif. It's a integral part of Yontif that we have Ochel Nefesh. And it's a kiyum in Yontif. It's not that Yontif is less chomer, it's that this is a part of what Yontif is about, so therefore it's allowed. But to show that you don't should take it any less seriously is that if your basis is that it's a davar avod or something like that, so that's not going to be a justification. Chol Hamoed, it's a different story. Chol Hamoed, I think we've discussed, so it's unclear what exactly is the nature of the Yisum Lach and Chol Hamoed. This is a topic of discussion with the Maseches Gagiga and Daf Yuches and the Tosfos over there, that on the one hand, it seems like there's an Yisum Lach and Chol Hamoed also in the Torah. On the other hand, the Gemaras, it sounds like they're really coming at it from the perspective of the Nisa Rabbanan. So when it comes to Chol Hamoed, we have this idea that it's in a category called Maser HaKosav L'Chachamim, that the rabbis were given the authority to determine what exactly is the nature of Yisum Lach and Chol Hamoed. But as far as Yontif, you have an Yisrim and a Torah for sure to do Malacha, and the impact of having these two drushes together is to say that even though we're allowing Ochel Nefesh, you shouldn't get the impression that that's, you know, so to speak, a kula, that it means that Yontif is less chomer, or Yontif is also chomer, and that Ochel Nefesh is because it is a part of what Yontif is about. Alright, so now let's go a little further. So by Daber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Pasuk Yod, Daber O Bnei Yisrael, V'yamart Aleihem, Kisavo Elo Aret, Asher Ani Nosem Lachem, Uktzartem Es Kitzira, V'yevesem Es Omer, Reishus Kitzirchem Halakoen, V'henif Es Omer Lefnei Hashem Uritzonchem, Mimocharas HaShabbos, V'nifenu HaKoen. So now this tells us about the next day. We actually have three Yom Tovim in a row, 3 days in a row, that each have their own distinct title. So we have the 14th of Nisan, we just said, that's Chag HaPesach, and then the 15th, that begins Chag HaMatzos, and the 16th, that is the Yom Henef, that has its own status. And the status of Yom Henef is that that's the day of the waving of the Hakravas HaOmer, the waving of the Omer, and that process of bringing the Omer is what allows Chadash. That Chadash is also in the Torah, as the famous quotation goes, Chadash also in the Torah. You've probably heard that, it's attributed to the Chassam Sofer and others. It's a way of saying that new innovations are prohibited, but the actual usage is that the new grains before Pesach are prohibited. It's a machlokes whether or not this applies in Chutz La'aretz. That's why many of us are maple in Chutz La'aretz. It's a whole discussion of itself.
What does it mean,
Chadash? Sorry?
What is it?
Chadash asur min haTorah. So the prohibition of Torah against Chadash. But in the context here, it doesn't mean that the anything new. It means the new grain specifically until Pesach, until the second year Pesach, when it becomes permitted. So it's a big
deal.
That's a different pasuk. Also true. But it's a different idea. I mean, it's also taken out of context. So it's also applied homiletically to other things. So it's also true. But in this case, we're talking about the Yisum Chadash, who says in Machlokas whether it applies to Chutz La'aretz or not, which is why so you find so many divergent practices, pizza places and the like that serve Yashin and don't serve Yashin, because this is a big Machlokas. But certainly, at least in Eretz Yisrael, so you have this prohibition of Chadash, which becomes Mutter on the second day of Pesach with the Hakravas HaOmer. Now, here there is a fascinating idea. So, what happens if you don't have the Beis HaMikdash? So you don't have a Hakravas HaOmer. So what's the halacha? So Chadash is going to be Mutter, is going to be Asur, so what's the din? So the din in HaTorah is that if you don't have the Omer to bring, so then on the 16th of Nisan, Yom Henef, so then Chadash should be Mutter right away in the morning. The day starts and there's no carbon to wait for, so Chadash should be Mutter. However, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a fascinating, very hard to understand ruling. He made an enactment, Shiyehe Yom Henef Kulo Asa. that Yom Hanef, the whole day, should be prohibited, that you can't eat Kaddish until the next day. That the time when there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no Akrav HaOmer, so even though Menat Torah you'd be able to eat Kaddish the morning of the 16th, you have to wait till the 17th. So that's a fascinating idea. What's the concern? The concern is Meheira Yibana HaMikdash, that maybe the Beis HaMikdash could be built at any moment. And if that's the case, so then maybe people aren't going to be aware that the rules have changed. So it's going to be the morning of the 16th. You'll think, okay, last year, so we had a Chodesh for breakfast right away. We didn't have to wait for anything. So this year we could do it also. And you won't know that, no, there has to be a Karbon brought first. So that's a fascinating, very, very narrow kind of concern. So what exactly is the issue here? When is this going to happen? So if it happened a week before they built the Beis HaMikdash, so then presumably people got the news already. It was on J-Post, it was on all the blogs. Everyone knows that the rules have changed. So we really have to worry that people aren't going to realize that something's different. So the Gemara discusses when exactly this is going to happen, or when could it happen that we're afraid of. It's a very narrow concern. So either it happened the previous night or the previous afternoon, late in the afternoon the previous day. So that's itself striking, as the Achronim discussed, the Mikdash David, others discuss, that both of those are problematic, because we have a rule, the Gemara says in Masechet Shavuos, that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash at night. And we also have a rule, the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos, that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash in Shabbos or Yontif. It's not Dov for Shabbos. So these two possibilities, it was the previous night, that was nighttime, and it was the previous day, that was the first day of it. So how exactly are we going to have the Beis HaMikdash showing up at this time when we're not allowed to have the Beis HaMikdash built at those times? So many of the Rishonim understand that there is this idea that the third Beis HaMikdash we're not going to build ourselves, that it's going to come down in the Shemayim, Vani Yosel of Nosa Be'esh, it's going to come down by itself, and therefore it is possible that it could happen at night or on Yontif, which itself is a topic of major discussion. The Stipler and others talk about that. You see here that apparently it's not possible that Kadosh Baruch Hu could do it, it's just we can't do it. It's an issur on us to build a Beis HaMikdash at night during Shabbos, but if a Beis HaMikdash were to show up through God's intervention during that time, so it would be legitimate, it would be a usable Beis HaMikdash, and therefore there is such a possibility. But it's still a very strange possibility. And the Gemara mentions this takana of Meheri Mana Mikdash, and therefore Yom Hanef Kulo Asur. In one place, the Gemara also mentions it with a seemingly unrelated enactment of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai regarding Sukkot. That on Sukkot, so we have an obligation to take a lulav and esrog on the first day of Sukkot. That's an obligation in the Torah. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they did it all of Sukkot. So Midrabana nowadays is Zechel Mikdash, so we take a lulav and esrog all 7 days. So what does one have to do with the other? These are two completely unrelated things. So Tosaf says, well, maybe they're both Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so the Gemara mentions them together. There is a very beautiful interpretation of the Sfas Emes. And this Sfas Emes, you should just note, if you want to see a much longer discussion about topics of Yom Henef, you probably have never focused so much of all your Moed studies on topics of Yom Henef. So our friend Rabbi Simon Shlita and Imre Baruch and Parshas Amor has the whole shtickle, or a rather long shtickle, on Yom Henef Balacha Ba'agadah. So if you want to know everything you ever wanted to know about the Yom Henef, which we don't pay attention to when it's swallowed up with Pesach and Sphere and everything else, so Yom Henef also deserves attention. So take a look over there. He has a lengthy essay about it. And there he quotes also this Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says very beautifully that what's the connection between the idea of taking the lulav of all 7 days of Sukkot and this very targeted prohibition of Yom Henef Kulo Asur? Is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the concern was that we should remember the Beis HaMikdash, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be Mesiach Das. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted to make this takana that Zechel HaMikdash, we should take the lulav and esrog of all 7 days. So on the one hand, that's important. We have to remember the Beis HaMikdash. We have to have a Zechel HaMikdash, as we'll read in a few minutes about this for us Omer. It's a similar issue. But at the same time, we want to make people remember the Beis HaMikdash and institute such rulings, but there's a danger that essentially if we're going to set up the Beis HaMikdash Museum in the form of a mitzvah, it's a Zeichel HaMikdash, basically it's the memorial the Beis HaMikdash, so that is dangerous too, because that conveys a message to the public that it's going to be a long haul, that don't expect the Beis HaMikdash is going to come back anytime soon. We're building a museum to it right now, we're building a memorial. It's basically a statement that you might as well settle in. It's going to be a long time without a Beis HaMikdash. So then, that could have the opposite effect. It could have everyone turn off from the whole possibility of Geula. So therefore, in the same breath, so to speak, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to make this other takana, Shehei Yom Hanef Kulo Aser, that this such an obscure kind of situation, so hard to imagine how likely it is, that maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to show up right before the morning of the 16th, and we're not going to realize the rules have changed. The whole impact of that takana is to convey the mentality that Meheri Yabana Beis HaMikdash, that at any minute it may suddenly come back, that the Geula may happen in the blink of an eye, and we have to be equally prepared for that. So we wanted to make sure to manage both attitudes. On the one hand, we have to remember the Beis HaMikdash, we can't let it be forgotten, but we can't let that memorial turn into Yayish and think that it's going to be interminable. That quite the opposite, Meheri Yabana Beis HaMikdash, at any moment it can come back, and you have to be ready for that too. And the Stama, they are Habaha, that keeping alive the consciousness, the Beis HaMikdash, that's what can bring it back, that's what can create the reality that it can come back in the blink of an eye, and therefore there's synergy, that they nourish each other, and we have to manage both attitudes, and that's perhaps the intent of this Gezeira, focusing on Yom Hanef. Okay, so the pasuk continues. We have Sisim b'yom hanifachem esa omer keves tamim ben shnosol yol Hashem. Omer chaso shnei esrodim souls kubu Hashem and yishel Hashem reich nichoch niskol yayin v'yis tahin v'lechem v'kali v'chamel lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazah hiviyachem esa karban alokeichem chukas olum darasechem v'chol moshosechem. So you're not allowed to eat any of the chadash until this is brought. And now we have the famous idea of Sfartem Lachem, Mimacharas HaShabbos, Miyom HaViyachem Es Omer HaTrufa, Sheva Shabbosos, Tmimos Tiana. So here is the obligation of Sfiras Omer that we are so familiar with. Now, by the way, this phrase, Mimacharas HaShabbos, this has caused a lot of machlokas in Jewish history. Right? This phrase was the topic of a debate between the Tzadukim and the Prussian, between the rabbinic Jews and the non-rabbinic Jews. And this year, so we have, at least in the small sense of the word, we have peace in our time, because we don't have to fight this year about this issue. But the issue was that the Tzadukim maintained that the reference here is to a Sunday. Macharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, the Sunday. So Shavuot should always be on a Sunday, that Sfiras Omer should always start on a Sunday. That's what the Torah says, Macharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. And the rabbinic Jews understood, no, it's not what it means. This is not a reference to Shabbos. It's a reference to Pesach. And it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, the second day of Pesach, that's when we start Sfiras. This was a major machlokas. So this year, at least we have a shtickle of Shalom, that this is one machlokas we don't have, because this year Pesach did start after Shabbos. I mean, Pesach was Shabbos, so therefore Macharas HaShabbos and Macharas HaPesach are the same thing. And you can have at least a little bit of harmony on this point. But this was a sorry. There are Tzadukim today. There are Karaites there. There are they're not very populous. You don't hear from them so often, but they do exist. You know, there is some still a shtickle in Machlokes. Like I said, in terms of the issues of Shalom in the world, it's only a tiny drop in the bucket, which is a little bit. So this issue, and it does provoke the question. So why Taka does the Torah use the word Shabbos when Pesach would have been simpler? So Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this from a technical perspective, and he says it's because Macharas HaPesach would have been confusing, because Pesach is the 14th of Nisan, as we said before, and also before Matan Torah, says it was Laila Holech Achar Hayom. So the 14th went until the following night, which is what we now call the night of the 15th, the Seder night. That in the Lashon HaTorah was essentially all the 14th, so we're going to say Macharas HaPesach, what that would really mean the 15th. We're trying to say the 16th, and calling Macharas HaPesach, that's not going to really help us. So therefore, Torah had to use a different word. But others have assumed that in addition to that, that there is a homiletic significance to talking about Pesach in terms of Shabbos, Some suggest that it's a reference to the idea that we've been saying here, that Shabbos is established while the other Yom Tovim are more about human involvement. So within Pesach, we have on a micro level, a little bit of a contrast between the first days of Pesach and the last days of Pesach. Because the last days of Pesach, we focus on Kriyas Yom Suf, so there was more human involvement in Kriyas Yom Suf, jumping first into the ocean, into the sea, while when it comes to Pesach, we were purely recipients of God's involvement in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, Pesach, vis-a-vis the other half of Pesach, the first day of Pesach is Shabbistic in that sense. Others point out to different things. I heard Sobolovsky comment about the fact that both Pesach and Shabbos have in common these themes of Zachar v'Shomer, that Shabbos, of course, we know Zachar and Shomer are the two key verbs that we find in the Torah regarding Shabbos. And when it comes to Pesach, so Pesach is also characterized by both Zechira and Shmira. Shabbos, Mamlech HaPesach, we have Zachar all over the place, and we have Shmira all over the place in terms of the mitzvos, in terms of the matzos, in terms of Shmoras Kodesh HaAviv. So they both are about themes of Zachar and Shomer, and in both cases we have to keep them in balance. There are messages that are being conveyed in terms of the connection between the two. So in any event, so we have this obligation of Sfiras HaOmer, which clearly we could talk about for far more time than we have now. Luckily we did speak a little bit about Sfiras HaOmer a few weeks ago, but there's still much, much more we can say, so we won't be able to get into that now. Just mention that in general, so there is a question whether Sfiras HaOmer today is Daraisa or Darabanan, that many of the Rishonim understand that Sfiras HaOmer today is also Begedra Zeichel HaMikdash, and therefore it's Midrabanan. The Rambam held it was Minat Torah, and there are some who make a distinction between the days and the weeks. Rabbi Yerucham makes a distinction between the days and the weeks, because the Gemara says in Masachas Menachos, mitzvah l'mem neyome, mitzvah l'mem neyeshvue, it's a mitzvah to count the days and the weeks, and you could read that as two separate directives. The Ramban has a comment here, sheyivne b'fiv b'yazkir cheshbono. And what exactly that means, you should count with your mouth, and you should remember the cheshbon. So the Som Derech, because this Lebroid suggests that what this means, this Ramban, he's saying a view, which is not how we do things, like the view of the Avia Ezri, that we don't always have to do separate days and weeks. It's really kind of either or, that first we do the days until you get to a week. And then, according to this view, once you hit the eighth day, let's say, so then you can count, or you should count, today is a week and a day of Yom. And then you just mentally keep track that adds up to 8 days. And maybe that's what the Ramban is saying here also, that you count with your mouth the total with the weeks, so you do the cheshbon in your mind of how many days that adds up to. So, in any event, like we said, a lot to say about the whole idea of how you can miss a day. So then we paskin, which we take into account, that you can't count anymore without that. By missing a day, we mentioned the approach that many have, that means that Sfiras HaOmer is all one big mitzvah as opposed to 49. And we mentioned of Soloveitchik's approach that said, no, that every day of Sfira is distinct from the previous day, but still you can miss a day, because if you miss a day, then you are not counting anymore. That's not considered to be what counting is. You have to have a continued cycle of marking all the days in between, and if you're not identifying every member of the set, that's not full counting. So we discussed a few weeks ago various nafkaminas of that, but we don't have time to go into it now. But just an important result to keep in mind, it affects almost every issue in Sfiras HaOmer, whether you understand it one way or the other. I have quite a lot to say about it. The idea that Sfiras HaOmer is about a certain period of time, so it makes it sound like it's a mitzvah saseh shazman drama. That's the way the Sefer Achinuch and the Rambam understand, and that certainly is a compelling assessment. It would seem like this is very time dependent. You can't do it except for, first of all, during this tekufa between Pesach and Shavuos, and each day on its specific day. And we also assume only at nighttime. That's another reason to call this the Seisha as my grandma. So with all of that, one would think that that's the case, then women would be Peturos. And we mentioned the position of Mishnah Berurah that because of that, women should not start counting with a bracha, because if you're not chayavos, so why take on the risk of missing a day and then having retroactive brachos of Atala? Although we mentioned, according to Rav Soloveitchik's approach, that wouldn't really be a problem because there's no retroactive bracha levatala. The days you count with the bracha to begin with are fine. It's only the days after that that wouldn't be called counting. But not everyone agrees with the premise that it's a mitzvah seishah as man grama. And the Ramban, in his commentary to Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Daled, so the Ramban includes Sviras HaOmer among a list of mitzvah seishah shein as man grama. So that's very hard to understand because it seems like it's pretty man grama. So how do you see it differently? So some actually say maybe it's a typo, maybe it didn't mean to be included in that list. And others have an approach, many have the approach, that mitzvah seishah as man grama only means when you have a mitzvah, it's, so to speak, artificially confined to a certain period of time. Say artificially, meaning that the mitzvah theoretically could have been done at any time, and the Torah says it's got to be specifically this time. So let's say, for example, lulav and esrog, which we say is mitzvah seishah as man grama. So physically, it's possible to take a lulav and esrog at any time, day or night, and any day, and any time of day or night. But the Torah bounds it in to this time. So that's a way of making a mitzvah seishah as man grama. But if the mitzvah is in response to something or is waiting for some other act to happen first, like hakrav saomer, that's one way to say it, or to say that you're counting the days that have to only be there in order for you to count them, so therefore it can't be any other time, so then that's not considered to be a mitzvah seishah as man grama because the time itself, the mitzvah itself forces it to be that time. So many have that approach. It's interesting, just to parenthetically say, in terms of the question of what the whole nature, the hakir about the whole nature of mitzvah seishah as man grama. So one could ask what that's about. You know, the whole idea that women are pturus from mitzvah seishah as man grama, so you've probably heard the Abidram and others who say that it's in order to allow more focus on the needs of the family, so therefore women are exempt from anything that's going to be time-bound and therefore theoretically become in conflict. So you could say like that, or you could say the other way around. You could say that there's some kind of xeris akasiv, that the mitzvos that are inherently zman grama, that shows you something about them, that women were pturos. Because if you say the first way, that there is a hezber like Abidrab, and it's about the reality of not being tied down to a time-bound commitment, so why should we care about svaras like this? Why should we care whether the time factor is because it's imposed on the mitzvah, or whether it's inherent in the way the mitzvah is done? It would seem like either way, you're telling the woman that she has to be involved in something time-bound, it shouldn't matter why. It's also a machlokas rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, Masechet Brachos, whether or not we apply the idea of mitzvah seishah as man grama as a patur to mitzvah derabanan. So if you say that it doesn't apply to mitzvah derabanan, it seems also that you have to say, essentially, it's exeris hakasav, because if the ratzon haTorah was that women should not have to do mitzvos that are time-bound, so why would Chazal thwart that by making mitzvos that women are obligated in? It wouldn't seem to make any sense. It would seem that they should apply that rule to the Rabbanans also, and that they're essentially going against that rule. Right.
If you say that mitzvahs to Rabbanan are not under the purview of mitzvahs that she has non grama, then why are there so many mitzvahs to Rabbanan that have specific exemption, maybe that women have to do it because Avnei Mayot Zosan is, if I have to do all mitzvahs to Rabbanan that have non grama, we should never need that.
Right, that's a great question. It's definitely a very worthy discussion. We are in a situation of Zman Grama that's not going to allow us to fully explore that. That's a major discussion, what exactly is the notion of that. It could be that the Brisker Rav in his commentary from Seventh Erechim talks about what exactly is the impact of Afrik Haribo Solonais, whether it fully brings the mitzvah in or whether it brings it on a different level. So a much longer discussion. I guess this year already, we're already past, already in Purim and Pesach and Hanukkah and all the other times. It's not really a Shulis topic. I know that we have to make sure about it. It'll be hard to promise that this year we'll get to it, but it's a topic very worthy of discussion, but unfortunately, it's long grammar right now. But for now, we'll take it that it is in my focus, whether or not it applies to Rabbanim. And I just think it's interesting. I don't see so many people who focus on this, but it seems that you have to say it's totally on this question, that if you want to say Zman Grama is basically just a clue that's in the category of mitzvahs that are exempted women, okay, so the Chazal can make their own mitzvahs which don't have that rule. And another mitzvah that has that rule is a technicality, maybe like Sferos HaOmer, maybe you could say isn't in that category. But if the idea is that it's the Ratzon HaTorah that women should not be involved in time-bound mitzvahs, then it's hard to see why we should make a distinction between the Reisos and the Rabbanans, and why should we make a difference by what makes it Zman Grama. Time-bound, and it would seem to have the same impact, and that shouldn't make a difference. So that's a different topic, but it's just interesting that when it comes to Sefiras HaOmer, so you have such a shaila. So I thought once maybe you could say that the whole nature of the mitzvah of Sefira really is the opposite of Zman Grama, even though it seems very Zman Grama, but in one sense it's really the opposite. That, you know, there are those who have a practice, many have a practice that when they write a letter, people used to do that. They used to write letters on paper to people, and then they would have to date it. Now, you know, you write a letter on an email, so you need to do that, so it dates itself, I guess. So the whole minyan is falling away. But it used to be people used to take what we used to call a pen, and they would write on paper, they would write a letter, and they put the date, and Sefiras HaOmer, they'd also put the date. And that gave rise to the whole Shaila and Yom Kippur. I think we alluded to it a few weeks ago. The question of if you did that, are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sefira? Do we say Yisiva Kedibor or not? Both the Kula and the Chumra. But if you do that, should we say that you can't count the bracha after that? That night? Just that night? And if you do that and you forget to count, should we let you count the bracha after that to say you were in fulfillment by writing it down? But the whole practice indicates the mentality that why would you put this in your letters? Because it's not stam that you only, the mitzvah of Sefira just means to you that for a few seconds a night you're going to stop and you're going to say the formula. It means you're going to have a mentality that the Sefira system kind of overtakes the regular calendar, and that we're imposing our own view of time on the calendar time. And that's the whole idea, the period of time between Pesach and Shavuos, when we anticipate the receiving of the Torah. So we're saying that we're not simply going to allow that time to pass on its own, but we take control over the time. We are going to dictate how that time is going to be spent. That's what Sefiras HaOmer means. And if that's the case, you know, we date our letters like this, we're saying it's a part of our new system that we're imposing on the calendar, and that maybe then one could understand that it's kind of the opposite of Mitzvah Seisha as one drama. That it's not that we are under the influence of time, that we are taking control over time, and therefore perhaps it should be different than this category from which women are otherwise exempt. Okay, so that's a possible approach. A lot more to say there about that, but again, we're in a situation of Mitzvah Seisha as one drama. So I'll just mention this next pasuk. It also has some major significance. That here, Pasuk of Aleph says, "Ukras and be'etzim hayom hazeh mekra kodesh yelachem komalechas avodu lo sasu." So in the context of Shavuos here, we're told also to declare Mikra Kodesh, and the language is a little bit different, that it says across and be'etzim hayom hazeh. So it's interesting. So this could be relevant. There is a widespread minhag Yisrael that when it comes to Shavuos, so we don't daven early. That even though most other Shabbos and Yontif nights, we could daven early if we want, and we could bring in Shabbos and Yantif early. And it's not stomach convenience, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, which most of the Rishonim say applies Minat Torah to every Yantif, really. Although it's always a discussion, sometimes they speak about this, they say Tosefta Yantif applies equally to every single Yantif throughout the year. Every single Yantif, with the exception of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the first days of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, first days of Pesach, Shavuos, and Tisha B'Av, because each day there is a little bit of a discussion as to how it applies. There's a quirk about every yantif has a quirk. The only yantif that has no quirk is the last days of Pesach. Right? But other than that, everything else has a quirk. But theoretically, there's a mitzvah Tosefes yantif by every yantif. So despite that mitzvah, so we have a widespread practice, a widespread minhag Yisrael, not to daven early Shavuos night. So the question is, why is that? So the most common explanation is, like the Taz and the Magen Avraham say, that it's because also of this Aliyah, it's because of what we just read a few psukim ago, that we have an obligation of counting complete weeks of Sefira. So maybe we have to worry that if we're going to count 7 weeks of Sefira, and then all of a sudden, by the time Shavuos comes, we're going to start Shavuos early, that's going to be an imperfect counting of Sefira. We're not going to have 7 complete weeks. We're going to have 6.999 weeks because we're missing the last hour and it's going away to Shavuos itself. So it's an interesting chumra, so to speak. It's surprising, as many Achronim discuss, because it's not based on the Gemara and it's not based on the Rishonim. And it seems like we have a chiyuv of Minat Torah to Tosefes Yantif. So what right do we have to say, because of this diyuk, we're going to neglect the Minat Torah? Hi.
Well, what about if you well, shouldn't the same be said about making the Sefes Yontif on the first day of Pesach, like at night? Because then you should have to daven Mar right away, or else you're going to be shaving off part of the first day of the Omer, because the first day of Pesach still until you daven Mar.
That's interesting. You know, the question how far you want to go with that, assuming that Meir really is necessary.
Yeah, because it could be the same thing if we're saying that saying Meir really changes the Kedusha Sayom, and therefore you're missing
part. It's an interesting question.
Kal Chomer the same thing on the other end.
Maybe. It's an interesting question how far you want to go with it, and what exactly the implications. Certainly it's a very expansionist view of what Kabbalah Shabbos as well as Yom Tov does, which have all kinds of interesting implications. But the idea that it should be a rough basis to neglect a mitzvah min HaTorah is surprising. So there's a lot of discussion about this. So how do we get away without doing Tosefos on Shavuos? Not just how to explain the minhag, but why should we neglect the mitzvah of Tosefos? So some say we're not really neglecting it even if we do this, because there's two dinim in Tosefos. One is to avoid Yantif, avoid Malacha, and the other is to actually start the Yantif early. So the mitzvah min HaTorah really, according to this understanding, is to avoid malacha. So that you can do. You can refrain from malacha as long as you want, any period of time you want, before Shavuos actually starts. But it's just in terms of davening. So davening, that has to wait until dark. Others explain, Moshe Sternbach has an essay about this in the Modern Muzmanin, that Shavuos is different than every other yontif, because there's no date in the Torah for when Shavuos is. And not only is there no date in the Torah, but in the time of the Torah, when, as the topic of the Saliyah, so Yontif could end up on different days, with Kiddush HaChodesh could end up on different days of the month, so there were three different days when Shavuos could be. Shavuos was not associated either explicitly or even practically with any specific date. So therefore, another Yontif, so the 15th of Nisan, the 15th of Tishrei, so you could say, all right, this is Yontif, and I'll start a little bit early. But Shavuos only exists by Sfira finishing. So therefore, you can't start it before Shavuos is over, because the whole concept isn't going to make sense. I think I may have mentioned in another context, Lubavitcher Rebbe has a Hafu B'chiddush, that he says that this idea of Usfartim Lachem that we just read, so what's the intent of Lachem? Some say Lachem means that you shouldn't use Shavuos Ka'ona. We mentioned that sometime recently, that you should count yourself and not listen to somebody else. Rav Avram discusses that. And others say, no, it doesn't mean that, because Shemek owners should work for various reasons. It means that as opposed to Yovel, which is counted commonly, so Sfira should be counted by the individual. The Bavitcher Rebbe had a major chiddush printed in the Chiddushim Biur Malashas. It says that it's a personalized obligation, so much so that if you were to cross the international dateline on Shavuos, so then you would end up on a different count from everyone around you, but you would still keep count on Shavuos, if you cross the international dateline during the Sfira. So you would maintain your own count because of the Sfartim Lachem, and you'd keep counting based on your own cheshbon, different than everyone around you. And here's the whopper, you'd have your own Shavuos, because Shavuos is defined by the end of the Sfira, so you would still have your own Shavuos based on that. So that's a huge idea. So here, that's what perhaps the idea of not starting Shavuos early is, because you need to have a complete cycle of Sfira before you can start Shavuos. And here the Rebbe is saying more than that, that even on a personal level, that's true. Okay.
There are many opinions that allow Sfira somewhere, say the next night's bracha on Shkia.
Right.
So how does that interact with the full 50 days?
So it's an interesting question whether that's comparable. And I think here the idea is, okay, so each day on its own is going to basically be the complete day. But if you're going to stop the process before it's over, so then the 7 complete weeks you're going to be missing, and the whole package is going to be deficient, and especially if Shavuos itself, which you're trying to bring in, is contingent on that happening, maybe that's where you have the issue. So that's how they explain, you know, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, and others. But there is a whole different approach, which the Tziv has in its Tshuvas. And I saw that the Rebbe Kamenetsky, in the Emes Liakov, says the same thing, without quoting the Tziv, but he has the same thing on this Pasuk. And he goes into it a little bit more. So if you want to see a little more detail, you can take a look at how Rebbe presents it. But essentially what the Nesiv and Rebbe says in short form is that it's based on this Pasuk. It's not based on the earlier Pasuk of Zimun, but it's based on this Pasuk, Pasuk of Aleph, who crossed in Be'etzim Hayom HaZeh Mikra Kodesh. That the idea of the Kriyas Kodesh, the declaration of Kedusha, whether that means davening or Kiddush, And that's also a little bit of a discussion here. So when should that happen? That should happen be'etzem hayom hazeh. So what does etzem mean? So the Gemara says in the 8th parak of Yuma that there's an obligation to start Yom Kippur early, that everyone agrees in the Torah. But when you start Yom Kippur early, so Tosefis Yom Kippur, if you were to eat on that time during the Tosefis Yom Kippur, you wouldn't be chayav karis. The chayav karis for eating in Yom Kippur only applies to the day itself, not the additional part of the day. So the Gemara understands that from the word etzim there, that etzim means the day itself and not more. So it says, and it says in Rabbi Yaakov, that this pasuk is telling you that the kriyas kedusha of Shavuos has to be on the day itself and not before, not during any type of Tosefis. So maybe therefore there is no obligation or concept or really room for Kiddush and Davening during the time before the actual day, the actual astronomical day of Shavuos. You have to wait till dark in order to do those things. Major nafkamina between the Taz and the Nitziv is, does this apply to the second night of Shavuos? The second night of Shavuos should also wait until dark, so it would seem like, according to the Nitziv, it applies both times, that that's the idea, that the Kriyas Kodesh should be after dark, while according to the Taz, it's all about Sfira, so that only applies the first night, that once you complete Sfira, it shouldn't affect the second night, which is separate from all the questions just about Tosefes Yontif and Yontif Sheni is a whole different discussion, but at least as far as this is concerned, it shouldn't apply. Just quickly mention two more elaborate, if we can stuff it in here, two more elaborate suggestions as to this minig of starting late Shavuos night. So I think Rav Harfenis in one of his svarim suggests that the issue is Kriya Shema. That normally we say Kriya Shema early in shul. If we daven early, let's say in the summertime, Friday night, so we say Shema in shul, and then we tell everyone that you're not really yotzei Shema then. So our minhag nowadays is to tell people to repeat the three paragraphs of Shema later after dark. But there's a view of Rashi, which we don't really follow, but Rashi says that even though you're not yotzei in shul, first Rashi in the very beginning of Shas, Rashi and Brachas in that days, that you can still be yotzei Kriya Shema because you say Kriya Shema Lamita. Go to sleep and say Kriya Shema then, your Yotzei Shema then. So some suggested that maybe, even though again Rashi is not really the dominant way of dealing with this, but assume for a second that it is, that maybe every night we're not afraid to daven early in shul because we're not worried about people's Kriya Shema, because they'll say Kriya Shema Lamita and they will say it then. But Shavuos night, everyone's up all night learning, so they're not going to say Kriya Shema Lamita, so dafka that night we want to make sure that the Kriya Shema in shul takes place in a time when you can be Yotzei Kriya Shema. It's a creative approach. There's an even more creative approach, and the Tshuva is Oru's Tshuva, a very exotic approach, that he says it has to do with the issue of Brechas HaTorah Shavuos morning. That there is a whole question posed him what to do if you're up all night, so are you allowed to make Brechas HaTorah the next morning? So it's Machlokas Rishonim, what is the Machayiv of Brechas HaTorah? Why is it that we make Brechas HaTorah once a day and not less frequently? Tosfos and Brachos ask, why don't we make it more frequently? Why don't we make it every time that we learn? Why do we assume it works for one day at a time? But others ask, why don't we do it the other way? Let's say that we should make it less often. Why do we decide that every day is a new machayev? So some Rishonim say that it's sleeping that does it, that when you sleep, you're kovei a new chiyev. And other Rishonim say that it's a new day starting that creates a new chiyev. So that creates a suffix. What happens if a new day starts and you haven't slept? So then, what do you do? So, that's an issue. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger has in his Kedushin to Shulchan Aruch, he says, Yimanavshav. If you took a nap during the day, then either way, you should be able to make Brechas HaTorah the next morning. Because if it's sleeping that does it, so you slept during the day. And if it's a new day that does it, so then you have a new day by the next morning. So you have one or the other. It didn't happen at the same time. You didn't sleep at the same time as the day flipped. But since the last Brechas HaTorah, he did both. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger's descendant, the Hisoros Tshuva, so he says he's not so sure that works, because you daven Ma'ariv after your nap. You have a nap in the middle of the day, and then you daven Ma'ariv, so that should be a fulfillment of Brechas HaTorah, because the Gemara says that if you haven't said Brechas HaTorah and you say Ava Rava as part of Brechas Kriya Shema, so that, which is part of Brechas Kriya Shema, so then that could also work for Brechas HaTorah. So he says, presumably it's true about Avos Olam also, it's true of Ma'ariv also. If you say the bracha for Brachas Kriya Shema, it should count for a Brachas HaTorah. So now you're back to your suffix, and now you can't rely on your nap, so what do you do? So you have a suffix about what to do. So he has a very complicated approach there. He says that really there is a requirement that it only works as Birchas HaTorah if you learn right after. So normally we do learn right after. We say Kriya Shema right after. That's Pesukim. So does that count? He says, well, it depends. That if you're saying Kriya Shema, the Torah has the mitzvah Kriya Shema, so then it's not Tam the Torah, and it doesn't count as Birchas HaTorah. But if you're saying it as Pesukim, so then it's Tam the Torah, and then it counts, and now you're Yotzei Birchas HaTorah. So it says, if you were daven early, when the mitzvah Kriya Shema doesn't apply yet, so now it's straight Pesukim, it's straight Tam the Torah, so then you're for sure Yotzei Birchas HaTorah with that, and you're back to having your question, what to do with Shavuos morning. But if you wait till after dark to say Kriya Shema, so then you're Yotzei the mitzvah, so maybe it's not Tam the Torah, so now it doesn't count as Birchas HaTorah, and his great-grandfather, Kibayger, and Manashach, still works. But maybe that's the minute. Hard to believe that that's how the minig developed, but again, Baruch Hashem, Shem Panam LaTorah, and Tzeminik Yisrael, we have many different ways to explain how things developed. That's perhaps one of the less likely ones. But we'll just mention, we're already out of time, just to very quickly say, so the last pasuk talks about the obligation of Peah and Leket, about the obligation of leaving over for your field, Matnas Aniyim, and Matnas Aniyim here comes in the context of Yontif, in the context of Shavuos, many different explanations. If you look again at Yaakov Kamenetsky and his Emes Yaakov, he talks about what it's doing here. But we have the idea that the Yontif, we're always reminded of our obligation towards Aniyim, and we mentioned that the Rambam, his famous comment in Simchas Yontif, the Rambam says that Simchas Yontif would not be complete if you enjoy yourself in a way that does not allow any access to Aniyim at your table. Then that shows that it's not motivated by mitzvah, it's only motivated by Simchas Kreso, and it's crucial that you do make room for the Aniyim. So we'll use this as just an ability to give a quite quick chazara to Maos Chitin. So if you recall, when we discussed Maos Chitin, so we talked about why does this practice exist, this idea to set aside staka for Aniyim to have matzah on Pesach, and the main topic of Sholem Adarshim, as you mentioned, was brought to the Ramah, right, in conjunction with Sholem Adarshim, that we also have the practice of Maos Aniyim, various points in history, whether it was money, whether it was grain, whether it's matzah itself, but we have this practice to facilitate the eating of matzah by the Aniyim on Pesach. So the question is, what is that about? Is that a din in Hilchos Staka? So the often quoted position of Rav Zsolti is that, no, it's not about Staka, it's about Yontif, that it's part of this idea that the Rambam has, that Simchas Yontif means you also have to take care of the Aniyim as well. So then we discussed, as many asked various questions on Rav Zsolti's position, so, okay, but then it should be true by every Yontif. Why is it true specifically about Pesach? So there are many different answers, and we focused on one idea, that in addition to everything else, Pesach, there is a history that there was a particular bris of chesed among the Jewish people during their galus, that they decided they're going to look after each other, they're going to make sure that everyone else has what to eat, and that that's what we mean. We say, halach ma'aniya de'achalu alasana, that this poor bread, it's not a reference to matzah, it's a reference to the idea that all year long, the Jews made sure that they only had a little bit to eat themselves because they worry about everyone else, and doing that, that was what gave them the schus to be redeemed in the first place. So therefore, matzah specifically, maybe there is an idea, we mentioned the Vilna Gaon's deal, that when it comes to matzah, so there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, there's also a mitzvah, matzos yeyachel, matzah should be eaten. He understood that to be a remez to most eaten, that we should make sure that everyone has matzah to eat, not just we ourselves. So perhaps one could say that specifically it did in matzah, that part of the whole experience of matzah is also to make sure that others have, and that that's a part of what Pesach is about. And therefore, specifically within this din, that we remember our geula through this chesed, and in addition to the concept of Simchas Yontif, that we have every yontif requires us to pay special attention to the aniyim, so Pesach has this idea of Maos Chitin. But Shavuos as well, every Yontif has this notion, and that's a fitting end, I guess, to our Zman. We talked about Staka and communal obligations, And now with the segue between the Zman, we spoke about that, and Shavuos, so here the last Parsha Shir is giving us that segue, is talking about the connection between the two, the upcoming Chag HaShavuos, and the communal obligation we have towards Matnas Aniyim, a perfect link between our Zman and the upcoming Yontif, and that should be a source of Skula and Bracha for us as we approach the final tomorrow. Which, again, you'll spread the word, we schedule it for 10:30 tomorrow morning, before the senior, and now we will have enough.